Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
Hey, when you have friends, you know you love to have a little bit of fun with them, pull some jokes on them, make a little fun, maybe pull a prank or two. Well, our story today is a professional football player with a prank that backfires as a revenge tour happens. We have this story and more coming up in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history. And you know, today I'm going to reflect a little bit, going back to some memories that probably many of us share that played, you know, junior high and in high school sports, and just hanging out with the guys. And when you're around a bunch of dudes for, you know, any amount of time, you become like a band of brothers, and you bond and you have a little bit of fun with each other. You know, there's some of those great pranks of team sports. You know, the ones like, you know, back in the days when we used to wear jock straps of, you know, a teammate putting, you know, some Icy Hot or Bengay inside somebody's you know, jock strap that makes them a little uncomfortable during game time, to say the least. Or, you know, the old Fritos inside the cleat, and you go to put it in there and you hear a crunch when your toes hit. Or, you know, maybe somebody misses that team meeting when the bus is leaving and they give you the wrong time and you're there like an hour early in the morning. They're just some of those fun little pranks that are harmless and really, you know, bring a couple chuckles from your buddies on the team and really make you bond. Even the person that's the victim sort of bonds with the other ones and makes some good memories. I've learned recently that it must be when you go from those amateur status and you get into the professional level, well, you also get more professional at your pranks. You up your game. I came across an interesting story from a book written by Rick Snyder titled 100 Things Redskins Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. Now, the book is a great guide filled with interesting facts and stories about the team that hails from the nation's capital. Now, one such story entertained me to the point where I just have to share this tale with you, and it tells about one of these great professional pranks of team sports. Now, like we said, young men spend a lot of time together, blow off a little bit of steam by having some harmless fun with each other. And in the football world, kickers are often the butts of other players' jokes. You know, these specialists who see the field on maybe only a handful of plays each game are easy targets of the big guys that are regularly out in the field, especially the ones in the trenches, you know, having some other big behemoth pushing you around and you're pushing them back all day long. Our story starts the day after Christmas in 1999. The Washington Redskins are on their chartered return flight home from San Francisco just after clinching the NFC East with a thrilling 26-20 overtime victory over the 49ers. The men are giddy with not only excitement from the game, but they're returning home with most of them getting the chance to celebrate Christmas with their family and friends because they were on the road during Christmas Day. This is December 26th. They're on their flight home. And they're on the other side of the country playing a ball game. Now, there is an unwritten rule on travels like these of no sleeping on the plane or no sleeping on the bus. You know, we all had that. Even grade school and you know, high school trips that you took as team sports. You know, those that violate this rule of thumb for men traveling in groups often have consequences for those that decide to violate the code. Well, kicker Brett Conway seemingly wasn't aware of this rule or just didn't care on his trip home with the rest of the Redskins teammates. his mind was on getting home and seeing his girlfriend. See, she was with her family near Pittsburgh, and Brett planned on hopping in his car as soon as they landed in Washington and, you know, got in the, out of the plane, hop in a car, drive 6 hours or so to get to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. He knew to make the drive, he would need to have some shut-eye on this basically red-eye flight back east to Washington from California. Now, in order to ensure sound rest, Conway took a sleeping pill so that the noise from teammates would not keep him up or avoid him from having that restful slumber that he so needed to make that long drive. When he finally awoke, he noticed that the flight attendants were sort of laughing at him, chuckling, turning their heads real quick. Matter of fact, others on the plane were acting funny as well. But when he finally peered at himself in the mirror, he realized what all the fuss was about. He came to find out that some of his teammates were artists. Their utensil of choice was a black Sharpie marker, and their canvas happened to be Conway's face. The 1999 second round drafted rookie tackle John Jensen, veteran center Corey Raymer, and fullback Mike Sellers, teammates of Conway's, took turns and drew a mustache, beard, scars, and even an earring on his earlobe on the kicker as he was in a deep slumber in that permanent black ink. You know, if you ever get the Sharpies on your hands, you know, those that use them, and you know how hard it is to get off, you scrub and scrub, and usually it's a faint sight of it for a couple days. Well, imagine having it on your face, you know, the thing that everybody looks at when you talk to them when you're in public. Well, kickers at the time normally completed practice before the rest of the team. You know, most of the linemen drove Ford F-150 pickup trucks. And there was 1 week left in the regular season, and they still had some playoff games to play. So a few days later, Jensen drove Raymer home on a near 40-minute commute. They rode together as often. It was done by teammates that lived close to each other. And cars along the way were honking. But the town was in a football frenzy as the team had just clinched the division. And after all, they were Redskins players. They had no idea, even after Raymer was dropped off, that their buddy, you know, Brett Conway, the guy that they just drew on his face, drew a sign and hung it on the back of the tailgate that said, "I love big hairy men." This was the exact description of Raymer, with full facial hair and flowing locks. Chalk one up for the kicker. They got a chuckle out of it. But Conway wasn't done yet on his revenge tour. Next was Sellers. With the help of some Washington staff members, Conway stuck a live rat that was about a foot and a half long into the fullback's locker compartment that housed his playbooks. When Sellers went to retrieve his playbook before practice, the rat jumped out, scaring the big back so much that he fell backwards over a nearby bench. A hidden film crew taped it all. And then a handful of mice came out of his shoe locker a few moments later when Sellers went to grab his cleats, frightening him once again, and again having it on film. Well, target number three was Raymer. He wasn't going to get away with anything. Conway got him back by filling the cab of his F-150 pickup truck with white styrofoam peanuts. It's said that there was a white styrofoam blowing out of the Redskins' practice facility for weeks after that incident happened. Now, as for the Redskins' 1999 season, they ended up with a 10-6 record. They took care of the Detroit Lions on Wild Card Weekend by the score of 27-13, and they had a bad draw in the 1999 NFC Divisional Round when they had to travel to Raymond James Stadium and play the red-hot Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tampa won that game 14-13 in a close one to end the Redskins' season. But it just goes to show you, these guys got along in the Redskins' locker room. They had some fun together, and they won together. Is that what it's all about in team sports? So, hope you enjoyed this little story just as much as I did, and hope to bring you a lot more, because we bring football history to you each and every day. Love to hear your feedback. pigskindispatch@gmail.com. And until tomorrow, everybody, have a great gridiron day.
That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts, is found right here on the Sports History Network.